Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome everyone to another program of Missing Pages of History. As your host, Lee Robinson, we'll be coming to you today as we discuss some of the current events that recently took place. And these current events are the government shutdown, Obama healthcare plan, and we're going to give our perspectives from our contributors and analysts of Missing Pages of History on these topics. And later on, if you'd like to share your views, we encourage you to call in at 818-337-0016, 818-337-0016. To our contributors and to our analysts of Missing Pages of History, we'd like to welcome Emmanuel Dorner, Michael McLean, Joan Robson, and Susan Robson. As we talk about these recent current events that recently took place for the past week or so, I'd like to address this question to you, Mr. Emmanuel Joyner. Can you give our people an understanding on what does it really mean when someone says there will be a government shutdown? What does that mean, and how does that work, and what kind of impact does it have on the country? Mr. Joyner.
A government shutdown. This has happened 3 times recently. The impact and the implications is astronomical. And what happens is people have to be furloughed, basically, and especially that have government, you mentioned government connotations over it, or what they do for the government, basically. And it's a widespread effect. But the biggest thing, it affects your tax base because people are not spending no money, so they're not paying any taxes. Number two, it affects your economy because, again, people are not spending money, not doing what they usually normally do. I took a small poll. I talked to people in Virginia, California, New York. People were canceling appointments at the dental office. Because, again, how am I going to pay the bill if my insurance pays a little bit, but I can't pay the whole bill? I might have to delay it for a moment. The store is a little bit empty. I talked to a couple of people at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where they laid off almost 9,000 civilians there. Work for the military base, the largest base in the country. They made a run on the commissary. So just small little pockets of things happening around the country. That's affecting everything. There have been 2.5 million people furloughed already. And these people are very, very important to the economy. If you put a number on this, you're talking probably close to $1 billion in taxes, not being, paying, whatever. They're not buying as much gas. So that's gas taxes. All kinds of taxes come out of this. That's not being pursued at the moment. So the impact is amazing. The next week will be even worse than you ever saw. For now, what's going to happen is, here's the thing that happens. When this happens to the GOP, they look at the underlining. Are they going to bring all these people back, maybe half of them back? How do they do without these people? This is what they're looking at. They look at the unconspirited part of what's going on here. So this is their way of creating jobs. It's their way of not having jobs and not creating the tax revenue to protect the rich who are not paying taxes. But on the average of 7% taxes, and you pay an average of 23%. It's a different ballgame. But this is their underlining thing that they're talking about. They're not talking about, basically. But these are real implications, the real impacts. Your tax base, again, people not spending money at the stores, whatever, not at the gas pumps, a lot of things. Also, people mortgages. How are they going to pay their mortgages or their car payments? This is the way they hold the government in hostage when this happens. And people got to understand, this affects things globally as well. Because, again, people won't travel as much where you collect taxes again. People won't stay in hotels as much where you collect taxes again. When you put 2.5 million people out of work, furloughed them, they're going to do some things. They got to change some things. And this going another week, you talk about over 3 million people going out of work. But again, it's just when they come back, West Miami, they got to get paid. So when you got a year to pay them. So they're going to delay this payment as long as they possibly can before they pay these people for their, you know, for their, you can't take vacation, you can't do anything. But just to touch that, my daughter works for the government. How she, you know, her job is essential. She got furloughed, but she has to go to work every day. Her husband, obviously, worked logistics. The Pentagon, he got furloughed, but he has to go to work because his job is essential. Well, I'm like, wow, they said they feel it, but, you know, glad they saved up money for it. But, like, this is not the first time it happened, and it won't be the last time it's going to happen. Because the GOP has lost power, and the whole thing is about power, and they're trying to get this power back any way they possibly can to show that, hey, with the presidency of President Obama, they're trying to make him a favor. He's a pizza, but he's very successful in what he's doing, very successful. And holding the country in hostage and furloughing people. Over 2 million people have been furloughed, and next week will be more. Now we talk getting involved in the teachers. We get involved in who pays, you know, jobs that are the tax-paying jobs, I call them. 90 million people work for the government indirectly, basically. 90 million. Affects 90 million people. That's how many jobs. Half this country, job in this country is in the government sector. And that fuels to the private sector. So the private sector will be just having the same thing. I take Dallas. I'm on dialysis, and they laid off, furloughed 4 people. Now, I couldn't believe it. Now, we're 45 minutes going on and 45 minutes coming off because you don't have enough people. And Dallas is a very, very, you know, it's very serious. But this is how serious this really is. This is really very, very serious. How it's going to affect the, you know, the health care. It's going to affect that a lot, too. But again, people are going to the doctor because they got to pay money. They're going to put it off. So I've been thinking they're going to put off because of the, you know, the government shutdown. People depend on these checks. And what's going to happen next? They're going to start again doing crazy stuff. Where they're going to tap into the Social Security, tap into the veterans or whatever, they're going to tap into something because of the money. Because you're not taking in enough money tax-wise, you know, from the middle class and the poor working. Because the rich guy, they're not going to pay any taxes. The corporation not going to pay anything. They're there right now. They're not going to do anything. They haven't been doing it, you know. So they got so much exempt status. They're not going to do it. So this is the effect of it. It's astronomical that what's going on when you have a shutdown, special this day and time. In 1995, when they had to shut down, 1980s, they had to shut down. It was not as effective as it is now because we weren't global. Technology wasn't here. Twitter wasn't here. Our Twitter there, you put a note on a pigeon's leg and fly the pigeon. That was our Twitter. So you look at the Twitter now, it's a different ball game. And technology is a different ball game now. So it affects people very quickly. You can access the information very quickly, but you know where the effect is coming from. And again, the furloughs are something different. On most of the furloughs, they're not laying them off. This is a furlough. When they lay you off, you can draw unemployment insurance. On some furloughs in some states, you can't draw unemployment insurance. Can't draw anything. Now, niece, she got furloughed to the sequestration. She haven't got a check for August. She ain't got a check for unemployment yet. Just to show you that the effect, where they'll stop payments on certain things. And they can stop any way they want to. You see the park rangers, the parks, the monuments. This is tourist money. You're losing tourism money and everything. Disney World is taking a big hit. Whoa. So these are kind of things that are affecting us. Special, I think Statue of Liberty, I think that's shut down. I think things in Philadelphia shut down. Liberty Bell, this type of thing. People, again, where the tourist towns are, they've furloughed these people. So we're losing a lot of tax-based money. A lot of tax-based money. That's number one. And you're hurting the economy, impacting the economy, where it will not be sustainable. After about three weeks, it will not be sustainable.
Okay. Mr. Jordan, in terms of the shutdown, there's another concept they've been talking about where it associate itself with this concept of the government shutdown. And that concept is the debt ceiling. Can you explain to our audience, our listening audience, what is the debt ceiling and what kind of impact, how would that play out in this scenario?
Well, the debt ceiling, basically ability to pay your bills. There's a ceiling. They have a budget. I think we had $14, $15 trillion. This is money that we've already spent. This is the money during the Bush year, during the wars. We bought from China. We bought money from Japan, from Germany, from France, from Britain, just to name a few. And the debt ceiling is due. That's the ability to pay your bills. This is your credit rating on the global front. And we've never, ever not paid our bills on time. Well, the debt ceiling, again, it was raised 41 times during Ronald Reagan years. 41 times during the Republican administration. 41 times. I think it's 16 times the debt ceiling has been raised. Why is President Obama having a problem? And he has cut spending more than anybody cut in 50 years. He has cut spending. The thing is that if we don't pay our bills on time, we'll default. And if you have another war, how are you going to pay for it? You pay for the war we just have in Afghanistan and Iraq. We pay for the Vietnam War. All these wars are paid by borrowing money from other nations. So it don't drain out our economy because of our tax base here. You cannot kill taxes and have wars. That's what Bush did. It's impossible to have a war and don't collect taxes. Wars stimulate the economy to a certain degree. It stimulates one side of the economy. But stimulates all of the economy, stimulates one side. And what are your trade-offs? Your trade-offs are imports and exports. And actually, we gave China so much because we owe them money, so China wants something for its money. That's why our jobs are going to China. Nobody explains it to everybody. Why are we going to China with our products and, you know, making stuff for us? Because we owe them money, and that's the trade-off. That is one of the big trade-offs. 20 years ago, 79% of our products came from China. Now, over 35% come from China because that's our trade-off for borrowing money. And other nations the same way. So we got a lot of manufacturers, some of our products, to trade off for the loans that we owe them, we get a low interest loan. Well, we have to pay our debt. We cannot default. If we default, that means our borrowing will go from 5A to probably 2A because we're going to choose some of the things we're going to pay. Now, the 14th Amendment puts President Obama in charge of emergency. He can, you know, he can make things happen. So that's his bottom line card. He's not saying anything, but it's what he has to use in case something like this happens. But the debt ceiling has to be raised. Well, I said before, Ronald Reagan raised 41 times during 8 years he was president, 41 times, 16 times, and, of course, was in office. So why Bush had less time? Because we borrowed money. We borrowed money from the five places I told you. We borrowed money from Japan, China. We borrowed money from, you know, from Great Britain. We borrowed from France, our allies. We borrowed money. So we borrowed money from Germany. But the debt ceiling is very, very, it's hostage taken again. And they know you got to pay your bills because you already spent the money. This is stuff we haven't paid for the wars yet. And the Republican administration started the wars upon the Bush. This is what we owe. I think it's $15 trillion at the moment. That's a lot of money. And we print money every day. But what's the value of the money we're printing? What is the value in other countries? So we have to look at this debt in some way. It's got to be accomplished. It can't be short-term because it's long-term. It's going to keep doing this because we keep borrowing money. We keep having wars. And we're not collecting revenue. You got more going out than you're collecting coming in. That's why we have debt. Because we are not actually collecting revenue, tax revenue, from people that should be paying taxes. They've been excused, exempt, and everything else. But that is the debt ceiling. That's a credit card that you have to pay, but you already spent it. It's like taking your credit card, going to the store, or going to Macy's or Bloomingdale's, whatever, and you get all up, you know, Home Depot, whatever, and say, well, I'm going to spend $5,000 a penny. You got the goods, but you ain't paid me $5,000 yet. And you get interest put on that card. And that's due in a certain amount of time. 1 year, 2 years, you got to pay it off. Well, it's due. And we have to pay it to go back to Home Depot to get some more on our credit card and get a credit card extended. Because you pay it off real good, they give you more. You can borrow more next time around because they know in good faith that you're going to pay them. But that is the debt ceiling. I try to give it to you, in different stanzas there and give you good examples of what the debt ceiling is. And like I say, it's something we've done, I think, 78 times. 78 times we've done the debt. 78 times, never had a confrontation like this. There's never been one. Never. And one guy, one president, President Ronald Reagan, he 50% of the debt ceiling 41 times belonged to him. He raised it 41 times during his term. 41 times the debt ceiling got raised. So this is nothing new. This has been going on for a long time. As long as you have wars, you borrow money to have your war. You borrow somebody else's money to have your wars with. And you have states that's the biggest borrower of any country or any continent. We're the biggest borrower of all because we fight expensive wars. Because most of the time the debt falls on us. We don't get a lot of debt. And if our veterans come back, then there's money to be given to the veterans. Then we lose lives, $100,000 per person. When you lose a life in the war, it's $100,000. It's got to be paid promptly. So these are kind of things that have when we come out. There's veteran benefits. There's VA educational benefits. You buy homes. You start businesses. All this later on come with the VA. There's over 3 million veterans receiving checks, and their family receive checks and everything else. And the veterans also get food stamps, they get vouchers, a lot of other things they get. Special. So we got to learn exactly what goes on with your tax dollars and what the debt ceiling incurs, all of this. And this is not going to stop. As long as you got wars, as long as you got a military. Military is our biggest debtor. Our biggest is almost $400 billion a year to handle this ability. That's a lot of money for the military. And this is during peacetime. You're not talking during wartime. Wartime, it gets into the trillions. So we got to understand this. Understand exactly what goes on when taxes are collected. This is where your money go almost again. I think our budget is like $4 or $5 trillion a year to run this country. And of that, almost when there's a war, 20% goes toward the war. So you can't cut taxes. So what these congressmen don't understand. You gotta collect revenue to have a war. To run this country, you gotta collect taxes. And again, taxes employ 90 million people in this country. 90 million. Your taxes, that's how much your taxes get involved here. So I hope I gave you a brief synopsis of what goes on with the debt ceiling.
We'd like to alert our listeners that the phone line is now open for any questions or comments that you'd like to share on our topic tonight. Our topic today dealing with the government shutdown and the debt ceiling. We are talking to our analysts and our contributors on missing patients' history, and they give their views and perspective. If you'd like to hear yours, you can call in at 818-337-0016. When you call in, make sure you push in the number 1 so we can acknowledge your phone number. We'll call out the last 4 numbers to identify you. At the same time, we would like to give a shout-out to some of our friends and supporters of Mr. Page's history in the Brooklyn Park area of Richmond, Virginia. We'd like to thank them for much love that they showed us yesterday as we came through that community, seeking their support. And we'd like to also thank all of our supporters throughout the country, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Denmark, New York. We'd like to thank y'all, and we'd like to share with those who will be participating this evening at our upcoming quarterly raffle drawing. We'd like to remind everyone that that will take place today, this evening at 1 p.m., and you can hear the winners live by going to WCLM 1450 AM radio station, and you can go online by dialing in www.clmradioonline.com. At 1 o'clock, we will have our quarterly raffle. Again, we'd like to thank all of our supporters for supporting us. And let's continue our discussion. We're going to our analyst. Next analyst is Mikhail. Mikhail, how are you doing today? Do we have Mikhail? I think we are having some problems with technical problems trying to get Mikhail on the line. So let's try our next contributor. Let's see, we'll go to Susie out of Richmond, Virginia. It seems like our board is having some problems on our board, so we're going to have to... Okay, now we got Mikhail. He's back now. Mikhail, okay. How are you doing today?
All right, good. Greetings to everybody in Richmond and all the listening audience. It's a good topic, and I have some questions, and June is here with me. And matter of fact, I'm going to let her ask her question first, if that's okay.
Hello?
Go ahead, Jim. Yes, Jim.
Yeah. Just listening to Mr. Joyner talk about the debt ceiling. There seems to be senators who play devil advocates in suggesting that the debt, that it's a scam again going on again in Washington. There's no reason that the government, under any circumstances, should default. In fact, Senator Rand Paul, stated on Fox News that the government receives over $250 billion a month in revenue taxes, and that if the government just paid its interest on that kind of money that comes in, I'm sorry, I said a year, monthly, pay the interest on the $250 billion revenue of $20 billion in taxes, that that's no reason why we should ever default. My question is to Mr. Joyner, is that the case? Is this just another political game that Washington is playing with the American public?
Yes, Rand Paul is incorrect. That is totally ludicrous. $16 trillion, do the math, is not even close. $250 million, $250 billion we collect in taxes, that's not enough. If you multiply that times 10, is $2.5 billion, then you add another $500 to it, that's $3 trillion, and our debt is $4 trillion. So it's not enough. And we owe out $16 trillion. So he's way wrong. He can't do math. We got people in Congress cannot do math. I just gave it to you in less than 15 seconds. He can't do what I just did. He don't know how to do that. He's not that smart.
Yeah, this is Mikhail. It seems as if, I think what they're trying to say about this is that the Republican Party, and especially with trying to deal with that Tea Party wing, is not being sincere. And when they're quoting these various figures, it's more politics and less politics and less information. You have the Koch brothers, who were instrumental in getting that Stand Your Ground law involved, and they are the financiers of the Tea Party. But there are other agendas that are moving, and the poor American population gets mainstream news, CNN or Fox, take your pick, and you're only getting the surface of the story.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. You're definitely correct in that. They're only giving you because, again, they do not want this president to have any favorite. They had a meeting when he got elected, so anything he put on the table, make sure that it gets defeated. We're never going to vote for it. Anything he does. Anything they have done in the past and have passed, like the debt ceiling, why did not pass the debt? 41 times on Ronald Reagan, they passed. Not a problem.
Well,
but to run this country, it takes $4 trillion to run this country. $250 million per month, billion dollars in tax. You cannot run this country.
Well, this speaks to their true agenda, which is ruining the president's reputation and blocking Obamacare, as they call it now. It's actually the Affordable Care Act.
That's correct.
But they place that name on it because they want to vilify and demonize the program. And I believe, Mr. Joyner, you have some information about how Social Security and Medicaid was implemented. I know Ronald Reagan himself was against Medicaid. And
yes,
those are the same sort of arguments projected back in, I guess that was the 60s.
But,
yeah,
Mr. Joyner, before you respond, we'd like to say to our listening audience, we're going to go over a few minutes, and if you don't hear this show in this entirety, you can always go to our archive by typing in www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-history-inc, and you can view all our shows. So, Mr. Joyner, go ahead and respond to the question of the history between Social Security and Medicaid and what's going on today, the similarity.
Well, what's going on with Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? They're entitlements, basically. But entitlement that you put money into. Social Security, we put money into it. Medicare, we put money into it. And what happens is that the hospitals, the doctors, they make money from this. The pharmaceutical companies make money from this. It's all stock. This is all stock bending. All these companies have stock. Investors. You got to look at the whole bottom line of what goes on here. This is all in the in capitalism. This is how it's done. How do we get the money from over here? How much do we get from over here? And this is how it's done. They're supposed to, and they do it. It's like going into the mechanic. You go in there for an oil change, they tell you 5-6 things wrong with your car. You just want an oil change. Same with the hospital, same thing with pharmacy. They drive you one into one PO and drive you to 4 or 5 PO because they have the effects. They drive you to another PO to make sure the stock goes where you need to go. Cause again, everything starts at the casino on Wall Street. That's where it all begins. That's where the stock is sold, New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, whatever. But we have to understand one thing. The money is circled at all given times. The money's got to keep in that same pot. And how much can we take? The 2% take as much as they possibly can. Take a financial planner. A financial planner is a person that plans to take your money. That's what he does. If you don't have any money starting off with, he's going to take your money and invest your money. It takes your money afterwards. Same thing with Social Security. Social Security is the backbone of this nation. When you get over, you get a certain age. Well, disability Social Security, you can get that at any age. If you're disabled, well, that's become a fraud to a certain extent. Everybody gets it, really shouldn't get it. But you drain it because people want another paycheck. So you got laid off, your money then ran out, then you try to apply for disability Social Security. Well, this gonna drain it. But they don't get more money into it. So you need jobs. You got to have a job to put more money into Social Security, a tax to put more money into it. People not working, then, of course, they're going to deplete it with, you know, less than 37 years. It's going to be depleted probably in 25 years now because of what's going on. But the big thing is that people got to understand, as we get older, we're living a little bit longer, Social Security payments are basically around an average of about $1,200 a month. That's the average. Well, that's poverty level. That's poverty. So that 44% of the country is in poverty. 44%. For a capitalistic nation, that is not feasible. That is not workable. Again, that's not fruitful. You can only have about 15% people living on the poverty level. That's all you can have. Not 44%. It doesn't work. Because you're not collecting the tax base to keep everything going. With the high price of, you know, high price of health care. Obamacare, what it does basically is insure people that can't get insured, basically, that has a sickness or a disease that insurance company will not insure. Pre-existing conditions. None of us have that. You don't get that till you get Medicare or Medicaid. But you still got to have an income qualification. If you make X amount of dollars, you cannot get Medicare. I'm sorry, can I get Medicaid? You get Medicare as an age thing. So it's a different ball game when you look at it. Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act makes everything affordable. I did a couple of tests out there. A friend of mine worked at the hospital. And aspirin costs you basically $75 when you're in the hospital. They bring you a cup of water and aspirin. The doctor give it to them, not to the nurse, and about three or four people have to, you know, get this aspirin to you. It's $75. On Obamacare, it's about $10. Different ballgame. I called five people who applied for Obamacare, by the way. 8.1 million has applied for Obamacare. Or, you know. So what has happened is that she was paying $596 a month. On Obamacare, because of income, everything, she pays $76 a month for the same she was paying $600 for. The same. They don't want this to happen because I just gave you the numbers. I just gave you that they got the platinum, the silver, the bronze, whatever. And, of course, the case, you know, it's also according to income. So you paying way less. My wife applied for it. She got to pay $92 a month, opposed to almost $800 because she's a diabetic. Now, $92 and $800 a month are two different ball games. And you get the same care. Nothing different. The same. The drug cost is way low. You can't believe the drug cost. This goes way down. A drug that costs you $80 or $90, and that costs you, you know, $20, $15 or $20. No one going to explain it to you like this. They don't want to. They're fighting it all the way because Canada has it. All European countries have care plans. Why we don't have it? It's just 100 years trying to get this because the money is all about the money. The pharmaceutical companies can't, you know, do what they do already, which is fraud, big time, creating medicines that don't do anything for you. You're creating 100 blood pressure medicines when you maybe should be creating 5 or 6, not 100. All do the same thing. It's almost like gas. Gas, almost the same gas. But look how many different types you got.
Okay.
But again, this is what goes on. So understand that the vilification on the Obamacare, which is the, you know, the Affordable Care Act, and they'll take his name off because everybody wants the care, but they don't like the Obama tied to it. That's all. Everybody wants the care. The Republicans, they want the care. Oh yeah, tell them to give their, you know, they're paid for their medical care. Let me give you one little fact. The congressman get paid $174 a year, $174. Not going to cut their paychecks. And they get medical care the rest of their life, don't even have to pay for it. And when they retire, they get $66,000 a year the rest of their life. So look at these guys. They're not going to tell you about that. Look at the benefit they get. They got health care. Tell them pay for theirs. They don't even want to pay for it. But $66,000 a year they get after they retire, after they serve their first term, this is what they get. And they get free health care the rest of their life.
Okay, Mr. Jordan, we got to stop you, and we'd like to thank you, Makia, June, and Susie, for being a participant on the topic today of dealing with the government shutdown and the debt. We would like to thank Mr. Page of History for giving a different perspective and feeling that Mr. Page has it relates to this particular topic. We'd like to remind our listening audience that you can view our shows on the archive by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-history-inc. At the same time, you can always communicate with us by emailing us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. We'd like to thank everybody for their participation today. Again, we'd like to thank our friends and supporters for supporting our upcoming quarterly raffle drawing, which will take place today at 1 p.m. at WCLM 1450 a.m. You can go online again and listen to the winners by going on www.wclmradioonline.com. Until next time, we'd like to encourage you to make sure that you make your contribution to humanity by filling your missing pages of history, and you can always support us and join us by sending any contribution donation to MPH Inc., P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Until next time, peace out. Thank you for listening to Missing Pages of History. And it's your host, Lee Robinson. Let's join in together to make our communities better. We thank you for your participation today.